We have a little more time together, so if anyone has a question, now's the time. If not, we can continue to abide in the silence.
I just find myself constantly between those two poles about like being, having to be here and not wanting to be here. Like, I constantly find myself like just having a very strong, like almost a spiritual judgment that not being here is more evolved or God knows what, than to just being here. And just for me, just to having to be here is like, it just can be so painful. And I don't know, I just wonder if you can say anything about that.
There's a poem by Hafiz that I would always remind myself of when I would get in this particular state, and it goes something like this. I'm not very good at saying exactly what it is unless I have it in front of me, but the gist of it is I'm going to tell you about these sorrows that you have and this longing, you know, to be away. And it comes from your haggling over the price that you're going to have to pay. And it's sort of the idea that, you know, these sorrows in a way, or this longing that we have, it's somewhat designed to really keep you moving in the direction where you are going, this place that you don't want to leave. But when you are in that place, you're not really ready to give up what you need to give up in order to stay in that place. So you actually draw yourself then back. And this goes on and on and on until you really have, you know, this union, you know, between the eternal light, the eternal being, or the lover or the beloved. You know, there are these different qualities of union that take place on the journey. For some of you, you have it, you know, very closely with your teacher, where you feel very, you know, you feel this deep, deep connection. But after that connection, there's another one and another one and another one. So if you're here and let's say, you know, you're serving the teacher, it can even be more difficult because that longing to, now, where is the teacher going to take me? It's there. And yes, sometimes the teacher does, you know, take you directly. And it depends on what tradition you're sitting in. You know, the sheikh takes you to his sheikh and you follow this chain and, you know, eventually you reach Muhammad, and then Muhammad, you know, assists in the process of getting you to Allah. So sometimes this, you know, can come about because of a particular service that you're in for a while, or so sometimes you just have to see, you know, is the haggling, you know, your haggling, and so, oh, I'm not going to pay that price in order to remain where I am. So you take yourself out again, and then when you're out here, it's like, I can't do this anymore either. So you're kind of, you can't be there and you can't really be here. And also, as long as you hold a sense that there is a here and a there, you're going to be moving in that world until you see that they are both one and the same. And I tell people that, especially when you're in her energy, when you can start to make distinctions, when it, those divine feminine qualities are in the energy, it's with you here. you are so aware of her presence in your daily doings. You know, the barakah is just rich. You're just saturated with grace, whether you're doing your dishes or taking care of your kids or doing your gardening. So a lot of times, you know, if you can bring a bit more of her presence into what you're doing here, this quality of compassion and mercy and kindness, not only for other, but for the self that is in this transitional period, you know, where you've got a glimpse or a grasp, depending on where you are in your unfoldment, that you're starting to answer truly this question, who am I really? And you're starting to get, you know, answers from yourself about that. And so as you, you know, move more and more towards reality, if you, you know, find a way to be merciful on yourself and have compassion and whatever in the midst of all this dismantling that is going on, and it is, it's like a being dragged back and forth and back and forth between the two. But yet you're not at a state where you can hold one because you still have responsibilities here. But, you know, if you could try to bring some of that into what you're doing here, it might be a bit easier. But also, there's things with submission that really help as well, because most of you who are sitting here know that I never ever wanted to sit in this chair, and I resisted for many years, and it, you know, created a lot of turmoil for me, and I realize now that I have submitted that I'm going to sit in this chair, and how whatever happens because I sit in this chair is not because of me or the outcome. I'm not responsible for anything. My job is to show up and sit in it. And if no one comes, that's fine. You know, I've done what I was asked to do. And so, you know, if you could see maybe, you know, what this is that you're, you know, is it just that, oh, I just don't want to be here anymore. I'm tired of all these people I'm having to deal with. And, you know, it's just so much nicer when I sit in meditation. And, you know, in meditation can become an escape for you. You know, it's supposed to be transforming you, you know, if the transmission is present. So it's working on you also. You know, so you're drawn and then you're sent back out. And it's just that way for a while. And also, you know, you have to look at things of, you know, what brings you out. You know, if it's things like you start to doubt the path that you're on, or you doubt the teacher, and, you know, things like this, it's not a very good state to be in either. And it, you know, so there are a lot of circumstances that can cause this uncomfortableness.
I mean, I think I just had this experience coming over here, like just like seeing my teacher and like seeing that he is completely gone, you know, and then realizing I'm just so here, you know, and it just brings up such deep upset somehow.
Yeah.
It's like, I mean, yes, I'm needed here, so I'm working, you know, but
yeah.
it just makes me so angry.
Yeah. I'm familiar with that one. Yeah, and it's just a grace that comes. You know, and I tell people that, you know, why it came, I have no idea. I mean, I can't connect the effort I made with what actually happened. So I say there's a computer with your name, a certain date and a time, and it gets clicked on. And so you stew.
I guess this is sort of an obvious question for everybody, but could you just speak a little bit about who she is? The attributes, qualities, or when you...
I think right now with what I read earlier is really all I'm saying right now, because some of you know that I had a period where I spoke a lot about the unknown she and tried to bring her into, you know, her names and attributes and qualities. And there was a time where I was doing another work, and then for some reason, specifically for this retreat, I never read things, I never get things that I'm supposed to say. But for some reason, that was really it. And I mean, the quality of she that I'm always speaking about is the face she had before you were born. So, you know, the idea that she was there, you know, in the beginning. So it's not the goddess. I mean, I'm much better now at telling you what it isn't, you know. So, you know, it's just this huge unknown that if you're willing to just walk into it. But, you know, it says it's in the way of insight. You know, so it's a very particular way to be. You know, usually the teacher is established within. Everything comes through revelation and insight. Intuition is part of the way she works with people. But who she really is, she's you. She said, I am you and you are me. Shall I read this again? I'll let her answer the question. There is in God, some say, a deep but dazzling darkness. I will give thee the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places. What wisdom is and how she came into being, I will relate. And I will conceal no mysteries from you, but will track her from just beginnings and bring the knowledge of her into the open. The Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way before his works of old. I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, or ever the earth was. When there was no depth, I was brought forth, when there were no fountains abounding with water. Before the mountains were settled, before the hills was I brought forth. Wisdom has built her house. She has set up her seven pillars. She has slaughtered her beasts. She has mixed her wine. She has also set her table. She has sent out her maids to call from the highest places in town. Whoever is simple, let them turn in here. Walk in the way of insight. It is I who am you, and it is you who are me. And wherever you are, I am there, for I am sown in all. And you collect me from wherever you wish. And whenever you collect me, it is your own self that you collect. I will again make instruction shine forth like the dawn, and I will make it shine afar. I will again pour out teachings like prophecy and leave it to all future generations. I wish I could show you when you were lonely or in darkness the astonishing light of your own being. And so, you know, we find her in a different way. You have to go into the deep. You have to go into the unknown. before her attributes and before she was this goddess or that goddess, nameless, formless. Diving for a black pearl. Did you have a question?
No. But you had addressed it.
Okay. In the silence of the night comes the unknown she, whispering sweetly, "Come dance with me." You either RSVP or you don't. It's funny though, a lot of people are really willing to RSVP for he. There's something about, you know, the knowledge part that it's much easier, you know, because it's a known that gets unfolded. Its original source was from the unknown. You know, someone, it had to be revealed in someone's heart, and then it was, you know, brought out until manifestation. But for some reason, people are a little leery about going in there and, you know, seeing what they show themselves for themselves, within themselves, about themselves.
And often I hear so much the emphasis on like the masculine aspects of God, like power and absolute truth, and in my own experience it becomes a little unbalanced, and I get very confused about what the she is, and does the she only belong to creation and to this earth, or what is that? You know, does God have a feminine aspect? And why, in my experience, is the masculine so emphasized? Like the masculine, absolute truth is masculine, you know, like has caused a lot of confusion for me. So maybe you can say something.
Well, in my training, I had to not only look at he, or this knowledge, this truth, this knowing, I also had to look at she, this love and this feeling as well. And so on my path, it was really never ever a problem, because both were, and obviously the he came along much quicker than the he for me as well. And even though I didn't realize that she was actually that what was transforming me, I thought this knowledge was, or the truth was, but it was just showing me what I needed that would set me free. And so she was, you know, helping me with the feeling element of the divinity, this compassion and this kindness and mercy, forgiveness. Because a lot of people, there are things within themselves that have built such a structure that if you can't find a way to go into forgiveness, and one of the practices that I do with people is, you know, you turn towards the eternal light and you actually say, forgive me, I have wandered away from the truth, make me like I was born today. So you've set in motion that you want to go, you know, you've recognized that I wandered away or I wavered. I mean, you don't even have to go into the whole thing of guilt and shame and sin and or anything. You just recognize that you have, you turn, you ask for forgiveness, and then you sit in meditation and it starts a process within yourself where, you know, things might start flashing before you that you have forgotten about, but they're remembered somewhere. And so this process of forgiveness starts. And, you know, it can also be something that, you know, shows you her qualities. And especially now with the way things are where, oh, I see all the yoga people out there. You know, these qualities of when we speak with each other in conversation, we're not able to create any spaciousness with our inquiry. All we can create is conflict. If two people get together and let's say, you know, they come from two different traditions and you start talking about anything that has to do with political science or, you know, current affairs, you're in a fight. You know, and because they haven't learned how to inquire, they can't create any space in it. You can't make any progress in anything. And so through these different things, like, you know, when Piercia was talking about, I think he called them paths, I call them pillars, you know, whether they're meditation or whatever you've designed for yourself, they help you with all of these things. But just by even realizing that, you know, something is bothering you about how things are on the path for you, it's a step to kind of open something up for yourself. You know, where, you know, what are her qualities for you? You know, and even within love, you know, there's love that has to do with intuition, insight, revelation, and then there's love that just has to do with inspiration. One is very transforming, and the other is more like when you read a Rumi poem and you're moved, it inspires you, but it doesn't always inspire you to action, whereas insight, a lot of times you're going to have to respond to it, or intuition. You know, you've shown yourself something, and this is, you know, a lot of times what I call the scent of light. You know, you've got that whiff of something, and so you can move towards that, a little bit like your question that you have. And they shouldn't be at odds with each other. They should be mingling and intertwining with each other, because there is a union there. My clock says we're way late, but theirs is still okay. Should we? Okay. Sorry, there's people here for yoga class, so. I know. Abiding in the silence.